If you are wondering, no wrestler comes out to Kenny Loggins.
That's a shame, really.
Yeah, Danger Zone should be.
Look, right? if I was a Major League Baseball player, this would definitely make its rotation into my walk-up songs.
Yeah.
100%.
R.I.P. Iceman. Val Kilmer.
Indeed.
Tom Kazanski. Which, I had a buddy who once gave the alias Tom Kazanski to the Ashland Police Department when he was about to get an MIP. And the police officer gave him the, take it easy, Iceman, what's your real name?
Fantastic.
Yes! I love it when the cops are in. Love it.
So that, you know, R.I.P. Iceman, Val Kilmer passed away. And we will talk at length about Val Kilmer, but Val Kilmer facts are incredible. And maybe I'll just start dumping some Val Kilmer facts in. Do you know he's the youngest person ever accepted into Juilliard?
Wow. I heard that this morning on, what was it, Stat or Story, on everybody's favorite morning show.
He was 17 years old when he was admitted to Juilliard.
No kidding.
Yeah. Crazy, right?
That's nuts.
Yeah, he was at the time the youngest accepted student at Juilliard. So pretty impressive.
Turns out it worked out pretty well for him.
Yeah, they knew what they were looking at when they saw, you know, a strapping young man walk in with acting chops. Yeah. So well, sprinkle in Val Kilmer nugs here and there.
There you go.
We'll obviously talk about the legendary career of Val Kilmer.
Love it.
Our own Doc Holliday, Denny Avdia, had a night last night. Blazers won 127-113.
He said, I'll be your Huckleberry.
Yeah, he did. He did. Which is a screwed up line from the movie Tombstone.
It is,
I'll be your Huckleberer.
Yeah.
And he was like, no.
No.
Not Doc Holliday.
Nope.
I'll be your. And it was because he was such a good actor, he looked into it, and there was a common misconception between Huckleberry and Huckleberry back in the Wild West. And so he's like, nope, going Huckleberry here.
Well, and if you really listen to it, it's tough to discern, actually, if he says Huckleberry or Huckleberry.
Yeah. Let's see. You got it? You got it?
Well, I did, except, God darn it.
We are.
Something happened to my
technicalities
in here.
A well-oiled machine right now. I'll tell you that right now. But
be a daisy if you do.
Blazers win 127-113. Denny goes for an incredible triple-double last night. 32-15-10. Holy crap.
Yeah.
I mean, seven turnovers. But he tried. But 32-15-10. And then 33 from Shaden Sharp, who could not hit the broadside of a barn from beyond the arc. But everything else, he was an absolute
terror.
Mercenary out there. The Blazers win a game at a time where it's like, that's not what we're looking for, but that's not how the organization is operating right now. It's frustrating as hell, but this is what they're going to do.
But if your young guys are going to go out there and ball like this, I guess the thing you can say is, well, why are they playing? It's like, well if they take Denny and Shaden off the floor, you're basically playing with seven guys.
That's it. Okay, but There is an avenue to play, right? Because this is low leverage basketball.
Yeah.
This is not high leverage minutes.
No.
There's not anything at stake.
No.
And so putting in a Ryan Rupaire more than a minute, Justin Manaea more than a minute, giving Chris Murray more than 12, and they tried to play him early in that game, right? You can do that while still respecting the game, right? And just saying, Denny, hey man, we have played 76 games this, or 75 heading into last night. We played 75 games. We don't need to run you into a wall and play you 38 minutes. Mm-hmm. We don't need to play Shaden Sharp 38 minutes. Mm-hmm. We'll still get you your minutes, but we don't need to do this right now. And we're going to give these guys low leverage games, but against good competition like the Atlanta Hawks. And that is still respecting the game, right?
I look,
we're not seeing it.
Everything you're saying, I agree with.
Right. Yeah.
I'm just saying this is what they
they're not doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And look, the reality of it is Chauncey Billups.
He's playing to win.
Because
that's what coaches do.
Because he's not playing for the future.
No. Well, not just that. Like Will Hardy has lost
his... Or I should say, he's not playing for the future of the Portland Trailblazers organization.
Yeah. I mean, Will Hardy's doing the exact same thing in Utah. Jordy Fernandez is doing the same thing in Brooklyn. Like, the general manager is the only one that can come in and manipulate it.
Mm-hmm.
The organization has to manipulate it. And Will Hardy has, like, lost his mind numerous times. Jordy Fernandez has won games by getting every last ounce out of guys, even when they shut guys down. Like, it's just, coaches are going to coach. And if you don't take it off the table, that's what they're going to do. That's what they're there for.
Yeah. It's frustrating from a fan perspective, mm-hmm. because of what it could mean in the margins between, we've talked about this at length, between 8, which is the lowest or highest, however you want to look at
you
it
can,
in the draft order.
You can get to 7. It's dicey.
Not anymore. I don't, with a win like that last night, I don't know how you do unless you really just roll over in Toronto.
Let me check my
5-game difference between Portland and Toronto
with 6 to play.
Yes.
Is it 5 now? Okay. So yeah,
not going to happen. Not going to happen. Yeah. And now it's a game and a half separating
That's
you
right,
and the Spurs.
Toronto lost last night when they won. Yeah.
Yeah. So I understand all of those frustrations. I have those frustrations. The reality is, though, what they're doing, it does. You can sit there and we can yell from the mountaintops, this isn't good for the future or what it could mean for your draft lottery odds. It's not what the Blazers are doing right now. And we can say that and we can be frustrated with it. But we can also talk about the fact that Denny Avdia is playing at an incredible level of basketball right now. And it is a sustained stretch. It is consistency over this season in steadily improving his game and becoming more comfortable with every passing game. You're sitting there going, goodness gracious, he's playing better and better each night.
And you start to wonder, how far can he actually go? And there's the March, April basketball of it all.
Yep.
But when a guy starts putting up triple-doubles, 30-point triple-doubles, he's the only one of, what, three players in the NBA this year with multiple 30-point triple-doubles? Three or four? So he gets four. It's Jokic, Giannis, I think it's SGA, and Denny.
Jokic with a 61-point triple-double
Good
last night.
God.
And lost.
But in that game, you say it's March-April basketball. Atlanta has a ton to play for.
Yes. Like, he's
game,
doing this and did it against the Warriors, too.
That game mattered for Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And it does not matter for Portland. It mattered for them. Mm-hmm. And Denny Avdia was just the best player on the floor last night.
It was incredible, and you start to wonder kind of what heights he can get to. And you know, I've kind of started to adjust the scale a little bit because for a guy to make that jump, it's a lot to go from good rotation player. Let's say just go through Denny's career, like sixth man type into solid rotation player. Into above average rotation player to top of a rotation, like top tier role player, which is what I thought he was kind of coming into this season. Now he's moving into, could he be like a 2-time, 3-time all-star? Like when you start getting into the kind of numbers that he's putting, let's just say that he's a 20.9 rebound, 5 assist guy.
Yeah. And you're not saying a perennial all-star. You're saying
like throughout
he's the guy
career,
that slips into the all-star game, and when we look back at his career, we're like, oh, yeah.
But
Denny did make
that's
an
like
all-star
the top,
game or two.
Top 1% of the NBA all time.
Sure.
Like, if you make an all-star game, you are really, really good. Even if you only make one,
yeah.
You are really good.
Yeah, and you follow it far closer than I, but I think that is a stretch right now.
Oh, it is. But like the fact that it's even like... It opens the door to that being a possibility, did not cross my mind coming into the season.
Well, and he needs, and this goes back to the frustrating wins that are piling up, is that his style of play and his production will be amplified alongside an actual star player.
Yes.
And that's where you go to, all right, he's not a star and doesn't have like superstar abilities or potential, but can he be a number two?
And that's like an actual question now.
Because where
in the
past, young.
I didn't think that was there.
And it was just like, hey, he would be a, when he got traded here, you said, this is a good trade because on a very good team, he is a solid, solid role player.
Yes. Like the highest tier role player you could get, like a guy who could toggle between being like, to use a championship metaphor, a guy that can be like your Jrue Holiday, Derek White, but on a given night can toggle and really scale up on a given night. But he's not dude one, two, or three. Now I'm like, could he be dude two or three?
But is it all a moot point if you do not have a star to play alongside him? Yeah. And I think it is. And inherently that becomes the biggest issue with the construction of the Blazers roster and where they are at right now organizationally. Is that you're good enough to peel off wins. You are good enough and you have talented enough players to be a back end at the highest level, back end playoff team, you're not going to be ever competitive with this because you don't have that dude.
Yeah.
You do not have that star player. And that is where all of the frustrations are boiling over on social media, fan text line, YouTube chat, all of it. And it all makes sense because it's like, yeah, this is great to have these types of players. This team and the way you get a star is through the draft.
Yep.
Or via trade. And getting a star player via trade, when is the last time that happened for Portland?
Never.
Rasheed Wallace. I mean, Sheed.
Yeah.
An actual star player. Yeah. Like that. That's it.
Yeah.
And then Pippen.
And that's obviously past his prime, but Rasheed's probably the best example.
Still really damn good though.
Yeah.
No tipping Pippen. He was really damn good. But that's where, you know, this is where you just kind of hit your head against the wall and say, oh my gosh. Because the young players, the development of players, I think that Blazer fans, if you don't want to admit it, I don't know what you've been watching or what you've been seeing. They're developing players. Yeah.
And
their young guys have taken massive strides forward.
And even had they leaned into the young guys sooner in the season, they still would have been out of the dregs of the bottom five.
Yeah.
They just ended up being better than everybody thought.
Yeah.
Look, I'll be blunt. The front office did not think they were going to win that many games this year. They didn't.
Mm-mm. But they put enough, the roster was talented enough to make it happen and get it done. All right. Man. Denny played really well, though.
Shaden was incredible, too. Two was incredible.